Long-term recovery takes time, but you're not alone in this because Lane and I are here to guide and walk this journey beside you. Join myself, Tamar Medford, and my good friend Lane Kennedy as we engage in conversation about what it takes to live a fulfilled life in long-term recovery. Come and take a guided tour as you gain a deeper understanding of your behavior, how your mind works, and your spirit. Each week on the You're Sober Now What podcast, you'll hear real stories of transformation, mindfulness and science-based relapse prevention strategies, and real conversations and steps that you can take to enhance your life so that you can achieve long-term sobriety. Thank you for being here, and let's get into the episode.
Got it. I'm ready.
Are we ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Not really. I suddenly wanted to look something up. I have no idea why.
Lane, focus.
Okay, I'm ready.
Focus. Should we change it to being present?
Let's be present. I'll just take a breath. Okay, I'm ready. See? Easy peasy.
Yeah, okay.
Let's talk about,
we've just been looking through sound effects because, well.
They're fun.
That is fun. Because Lane's sound effects of wrapping bows on one of the last shows, although it was pretty good.
It didn't really work.
It didn't make the cut. So let's talk about relapse.
What do you want to talk about? It's a serious problem.
And I want to, okay, so it drives me crazy when people make the statement that relapse is a part of recovery. And
so you really want to talk about other people.
Not to get judgy.
Go ahead.
And I guess why it drives me crazy is because, you know, we're into this science and thoughts. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. me, if I had been told that in my first mm-hmm. few months of sobriety, I mm-hmm. would have looked at that as a free pass. And I'm not trying to say that relapse is not a part of someone's recovery, and nor should someone feel ashamed if it happens. Like mm-hmm. there could mm-hmm. be multiple of different reasons, but I think that being told that right off the bat gives us kind of an out that some of us look for in the beginning, because we're like, I don't know if I want to be here. So mm-hmm. what if we started stating relapse does not have to be part of recovery? Mm-hmm. It mm-hmm. is sometimes. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. When you first found recovery, were other people around you relapsing?
Yes.
So what was the difference between you and them?
I did the work.
The work being this kind of internal self-evaluation, spiritual stuff.
Yeah, I had to change everything. Like I had to step away from a lot of, well, I thought they were friendships. I had to step away from a lot of people. I had to change a lot of things. But I mean, when I quit, I wanted mm-hmm. to end my life. Like I, you know, had the bottle of pills in my hand and I was desperate to get mm-hmm. away from that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I just found myself, and I did it too, right? I was on the pink cloud. And mm-hmm. I found myself doing a lot of similar things that I did when I was drinking, but sober. And that didn't always make me feel good. Like I had the emotional hangover. And I think because I had good guidance, mm-hmm. that people that told me, like, be mindful of who you spend your time with, be mindful of what you do. I feel very fortunate that I had that. And people really called me out.
Not everyone has that.
No, not everyone has that.
No, which is really sad. And I think a lot of times, you know, people don't even realize, like, I didn't realize it was an option to take a drink again. Mm-hmm. That wasn't my experience. I remember the first time I had gotten sober and I was hanging out with some people and then they drank again. And I thought, oh my God, what does that mean? It was like a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what relapse was. So for me, this idea of relapse is like, what do you mean? Why would you do that? Mm-hmm. And I still kind of think about that now in how I look at recovery. It's like, why are you falling back in that behavior? And that's been really tough. I mean, because especially with some of the clients that I work with, because I work with relapse. And so a lot of times it's this chronic condition that they get to a point where they want to make change, and then something sets them off, mm-hmm. and then they end up using again. And then there's the guilt and the shame spirals, right? And the emotional upheaval. So it's really, I mean, it's super challenging when they're in that chronic condition. Mm-hmm. And when I'm doing a deep dive with somebody, we are no longer talking about self-investigating. Like, that's not, I'm looking at how can I help them connect to this inner resource that's going to shift their life. Mm-hmm. So relapse is, again, that chronic condition is, it's deadly. I mean, I've had people die on me, mm-hmm. right? Like, and it doesn't have to be a part of someone's story. Like, it's not a part of my story. And I thank my, you know, this universe that keeps me sober every day for that.
Yeah.
But then there's also, I have known people that have lived in long-term recovery and then taken a drink, and relapse is now part of their story and they're sober again. Mm-hmm. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Am I going in the right direction?
You are. And okay, I think, I guess the reason it bothers me now more than ever, mm-hmm. is A, because most of the people that I got sober with are no longer alive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just the reality of living in this world. I mean, you have friends in your recovery that you hope that they never have to experience that, and you never have to lose them, right? Because we get close to people in recovery. Yep. So that's one of it. Maybe that's a selfish side of me. That's like, stop telling people that it's part of recovery. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know, because relapse is not a part of my story either. And I've had to do a lot of work on that. I mean, mm-hmm. it could have easily been, especially in those times of complacency. But now, knowing what I know about the way we think and what we tell ourselves, mm-hmm. I know that if I get that one little idea that this time it might be different, or maybe relapse needs to be a part of my story, then that mm-hmm. that kind of thinking will take me back, and that's when I could slip up. So I guess, knowing that we get more and more of what we think about, mm-hmm. it's like, why are we telling people relapse is part of recovery? Because it doesn't have to be.
Right. It doesn't have to be. I see. So it's really the language, the presentation, that it's an option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you'd like to change that as, you don't have to relapse. No. That doesn't have to be an option. There are other ways to move through your life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's tough. It's an interesting place to be, because because of the years that I have, right? And being around a lot of people who have relapsed and working with that clientele, it's like, I have no control over it. You have no control over it.
Yeah.
I don't want the language to be the barrier. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what else can we call it? Because it's not a slip, right? Like, I cannot stand it when they say I slipped. I'm like, what did you slip on, a banana? Like, come on, don't use that language. I took a drink and it was intentional.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to do it, because I just go back to my experience with working with people, is that there is that strong, they know that they're going in for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, they know. Yeah,
I've heard that we relapse before we relapse.
Yeah. Yeah. The drink is the very last action that's taken, right? Mm-hmm. So it's this thinking that gets delusional or distorted because of something minor or major, and then they're down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had a client recently who the alarm from the fire truck, it broke her.
Wow.
And she was suddenly sitting with a bottle. Yeah. But that was the last action, right? So it was before that we go back.
Yeah. And I know lots of people who have relapsed and that have been very fortunate to make it back, right? Yeah. And I would never shame them. I never think badly of people. Like, that's just part of their own stories.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, a relapse could mean not coming back. A lot of people don't have that opportunity.
No.
So has there ever been a time in your recovery that you've even thought about it?
Drinking again?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
There was a time, I think I was maybe 4 or 5, and I was with my brother and something happened where all of a sudden I had a beer in my hand. I was like, what is happening here? But it wasn't a conscious decision to be like, oh, I am going to intentionally go to the bar and buy vodka and pick up a drink. Mm. That has never been a part of, and I pray that it will never be in my brain that way. Mm-hmm. Because it's deadly. Like, I'm the type of alcoholic that I don't know what's going to happen to me once I put that substance into my body. I mean, I get in the car and I drive. Right. And now with my car, I would be driving super fast. I'd just be like, get out of my way up Market Street. I mean, literally, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, what scares me the most is because I didn't just stop at alcohol because I'm, you know, I like to go higher and then all of a sudden I need to go lower. And so I that's how I work. I finally hit a state in my recovery where I'm actually in this like pretty, like it's not as wavy anymore, which is really nice.
Yep.
But like it's especially because with all the stuff out there right now, but I feel like my ego would be like, well, you already messed up your sobriety. You might as well go hard, right? Because I'd want to try all the things again. All of them.
Let's get it all in there.
Right?
Let's get the psychedelics in there.
Yeah.
Let's get the legal drugs now. You know, like when I, that's one thing where I'm like, oh, you know, that legal MDMA, I'm that always, you know, I could I do that and get away with it? But that would be a relapse for me.
Yeah. And that's how I feel too, because I know there's a lot of talk about it, right? There's a lot of talk on different methods that help people get sober. But again, my fear is, I drank that, you know, non-alcoholic wine. And I felt like I was relapsing.
Right.
And I had the emotional effects of that. Like I had consequences to that action.
Yeah. That makes it so hard.
That scared me.
And how long were you in the kind of the black hole?
In the black hole?
That kind of dim emotional, the hangover.
About a day.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Like the second day I started to come out it. The first day I was just like, oh my God, what the hell did I do? And after I had talked about it a little bit, because that's in the past, I would have done it and just not talked about it. I would have been like, okay, well, I didn't drink. That's the most important part. Let's go on with my day. Yeah. And this time I actually reached out and I was like, this is what I did. Not feeling so good.
Yep.
And I think that takes the power out of it.
That, that emotional dark hole. Like, it's just not a fun place to live.
No.
Like that right there stops me from even going close to it. That just, it's devastating. Makes me cringe.
And I think those emotional hangovers.
Yep.
Those are risky too, right?
The emotional hangovers are deadly. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the thinking, right? That's where the depression and then the loops come into play. And then they're like, oh my God, what am I doing? Is this worth it? I might as well just have another drink. I might as well, you know, I might as well try the microdosing. I might as well try microdosing right now because life is shit. And I've already done this, right? So let's go try microdosing now.
I can't even imagine you microdosing. I'm sorry, but I just can't.
There's no microdosing. There's no microdosing. No. No. Who microdoses? I mean, like, I'm like, that doesn't even make sense to me. It just, yeah. But I guess it's a thing and people really dig it. But there's also, that's, I would think, perhaps a path that could be a little sketchy, dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, but I do know people that work with doctors to support their mental health and they do go down that path. But that would be really tough if the doctor said, why don't we start looking at using, you know, ketamine or MDMA, microdosing. I don't know what I would say. I'd just be like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? Because that's like a free pass.
Yeah.
That's a free pass. And then I want more of that feeling.
Yeah.
But then I don't know. I mean, it's like, I know that there are, I've had friends go down that route and they've had great relief, mm-hmm. but I don't know how they manage it.
Cause we don't really know.
I don't really know. I mean, they're under doctor's supervision. But is their head still thinking about it? You know, like, I don't know how the thinking works around that. I need to ask. I need to have some inquiry around this.
We need to do a survey.
Do a survey, right? It's just like, what happens with the thinking? Or is it that it's so medicinally useful that it shifts the thinking and you do not want, like, you don't need it? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's where the brain chemistry comes into play. It's like every person is different and. Mm-hmm.
For me personally though, like I can't even take pain meds, like back medication. I hurt my back really bad when I was younger. And if I tweak it, I can't go down that road because I will take a full box until it's gone.
Oh,
like anything that makes me caffeine. I've been down that path. I was hospitalized, like anything that makes me feel even just slightly hyper or whatever. And I've literally like, I've given up coffee recently. Well, kind of, I'm tapering off, but.
So let's talk about that. This is, I like where we're going here with this idea of relapse and then the coffee, like caffeine and reaching for things. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's something about like when we're living in emotional wellness and really in our sober, strong selves, really living in recovery. I call it recovery life. We're not relapsing on caffeine. We're not relapsing on candy bars. We're not reaching for other things to change the way our emotions are within. Mm-hmm. So what are relapses for you? Boom. Chicken strips. Not yet. Not the chicken strips.
I'm 2 weeks off the chicken strips, I'll have you know.
Oh, that's great.
2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Food is for me. It's been really good. I've done a lot of work around it because I think that's something that we have to eat.
Yep.
And I've done, you know, we've done hypnotherapy. Yep. I've actually done a set of steps around food. Like I'm really focusing on building a better relationship and not doing the yo-yo dieting. But what happens is in my life, when I go to one extreme, right? And I'm going through this right now without the extremes, which is a really different experience for me. So when I want to lose weight, for example, I will go all in. I will do, you know, no carbs, no sugar for 3 months. And I know how to lose the weight. But then what happens is as soon as I get chicken strips or any other food that's delicious, which most, you know, I love food. As soon as I get something in my mouth that I can't, you know, or that will trigger me, it's instant, like off to the races, and I can't stop. And it's exactly the same effect as alcohol is for me, which is
that I think is common.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a lot more people struggle with food than are willing to admit to that. And even perhaps even like beverages as well.
Any examples there?
Yeah, raising my hand with the matcha. Okay, fine. Decaf coffee. I mean, I can binge on these things. Yeah. And then it leaves me feeling not great about myself. I want to hide in the closet. And then everything about me changes. Mm-hmm. Like the transformation of addiction is alive and well when I'm in that behavior. So what do you do when you realize you're in that food, you're like going for it?
I reach out to someone now. Mm-hmm. Before it was I'll reach out later, mm-hmm. if there's mm-hmm. consequences. And to me, being tired or feeling like crap was not a consequence, because I'm like, oh, well, I messed up. That's okay. I don't have to tell anybody. But that continues to snowball, unfortunately, for me. So now mm-hmm. when I find myself in this emotional state,
yep.
I will, if I'm really emotional, I'll reach out to someone right away and I'll talk about it. I also meditate. Like, I really learn to like pull away from what I'm doing and mm-hmm. going, okay, why do I want to cook up a dozen chicken strips right now? And I'll just kind of sit in that, right? And then go and meditate and think of something else. And usually if I postpone that thought for about 5 to 10 minutes, then I'm good. I don't need it anymore. And there's always a reason that I need it. And usually mm-hmm. it's because I want to numb an emotion or I don't want to feel a certain way.
Yeah. Yeah. I want distraction. Mine. I want a distraction. I don't want to be here right now. Mm-hmm. I want to be doing something else. I want fun in my life. And that little thing is going to give me 3 seconds of fun. And then I'm going to feel like a big pile of poo.
Yeah.
So interesting. It's the brain and the receptors and the neurotransmitters, like everything. It just, alcoholics are complex beings.
We are.
We really are.
And one of the things that I think about a lot now is that typically we like that short term, right? Like that, the rewards, the instant rewards, the instant gratification. But if you think about, so for me, building a healthier lifestyle, which is what I'm working on, mm-hmm. the idea that, okay, I'm doing all this work right now. I'm not fad dieting. I'm not doing anything drastic. I'm just being mindful of what I put in my body. I'm stripping things away that don't align with the life I want to create for myself. Looking at that long-term goal of living a healthier life, being able to do what I love to do, not being tired, that is much more appealing. And that's what I want. Whereas I know mm-hmm. if I have that short-term reward, like, well, I'm just going to cook up those chicken strips now and I'm going to start again tomorrow, I know I'm going to feel like garbage.
And there it is. I'm going to start again tomorrow, right. Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow. That's there it is. That, like, tomorrow, I'll put the drink down tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or that line of Coke or those pills, or it's tomorrow.
Yep.
Oh, deadly.
But how good do you feel when you reach that end goal?
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? Like golden. Living my best life.
Yeah.
I want to live in that state every day. Living my best life. Uh-huh. Yeah. Who doesn't want to do that? But I think this is where addiction, or the brain of an alcoholic or somebody who's afflicted with alcohol use disorder, the understanding that it's mental illness, people don't understand to the depth of that. So there's this, oh, I'm going to drink Diet Coke and it's going to be great. But that Diet Coke is actually emotionally, you know, like robbing them of their lives. And they're like, well, what's wrong with me? And then they go to the doctor. What's wrong with me? And then the doctor says, well, you're depressed and here's something else that you can take, right? Instead of getting to the root cause of what's going on and really investigating life, it's like nobody's taking time to understand their emotional wellness anymore. It's just like, come on. Aren't we come on. Come on. I'm like sick of it. I'm sick of it. So you are sick of the relapse thing. I'm sick of this thing that happens. Oh, I'm just depressed. I'm like, well, are you eating well? Are you exercising? Are you calling friends? Are you taking care of yourself? No. Oh, well, okay.
Have fun.
why don't you just drink again? I'm just going to go to the doctor and now I'm on blah, blah, blah medicine. I feel better. Like, oh, okay. like, yes, I have a huge judgment around this, but it makes me, I get concerned for the over, like, I look at global perspective of like humans. And if everybody becomes medicated, and I'm saying that broad stroke, but you know, I have a 12-year-old and I'm thinking about like, how is he learning? Who are the people that are going to employ him? Who are going to work with him? You know, are they going to be medicated because they can't handle their emotional wellness? Mm-hmm. Right. So for me, this is such a bigger conversation. Like, let's take care of the body, the heart, the mind, the brain, the soul. And I bet you'll be okay. Like, I bet you, if you do some investigating, you'll be okay. Sorry, yeah. That was a rant.
That was a good rant. I like your rants. I was thinking about it while you were talking about that too, is that like the altered state, right? For me, yes. I am very, like, I can be shy. I'm quiet, but I'm an introvert extrovert. So if I need to be an extrovert, I love people. I love talking to people, right? I get along with people. But I think when I reach to something outside myself, it's because I want to be in that state that's like outgoing and fun. And I know I'm fun. I mean, you know, I'm fun.
Yeah, you're fun.
But I feel like sometimes that's why I'll like reach for caffeine, or I used to have energy drinks, because I'm like, I want to be like the life of the party again, and I want to be hyper and I want to be outgoing. But I honestly, like, I like who I am right now.
Yes. Winning.
Right?
Yes.
I don't have to be hyper.
No.
No. Like, I don't, you know, we used to have these weekends where we'd eat all this sugar and stuff like that. And it became like a running thing. Like, look at Tamar. Like, there she goes, right? And I'm like, do I really want to be that person? Like, I'm glad that you're having fun watching me get completely hopped up on and wasted on sugar. But I don't feel good the next day.
Oh, the worst.
Right?
Sugar hangovers are the worst. Ice cream hangovers. Oh, you get all flummy and that is just so bad. No, thank you. No. Sorry.
But, you know, that's why I wanted to talk about relapse, because I think there's so many things that can lead to a relapse. And I just,
let's talk about what leads to it, right? So anxiousness, irritability, a boss that doesn't pay you enough. What else? Let's give some ideas. A parent or a partner who's just like boring.
Secrets.
Oh, secrets. Drop the mic. Yes, secrets. But what kind of secrets?
Secrets that you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing.
An example, please. Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, well, I mean, worst case, you're having an affair. Right, Kate. Obviously, that's
extreme. This is an extreme example. Okay,
that's a bad secret.
That's a really bad secret. I know people who are, I know, like, this is okay. Keep going.
It's true, right? Because we still act out, even though we're sober. We still do. Like, you pay attention to our reels on Instagram, because some of these may be real life examples. Some of them may not be. Some of them are just pure fun, but. I think I told you before, like the smoking, right? I would smoke,
yes.
Right? And I was like, I felt terrible. Like, I felt like I was two different people. And I'm like, why am I hiding this? Those kind of things could make somebody relapse.
Watching porn.
Yes. I never thought about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a big issue. It was becoming problematic. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It was dangerous ground, and really having to learn how to set boundaries and how to manage that. Right. That's another need that's not getting met somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. So turning to an addictive, the internet,
social media,
social media. Yes.
Don't stop watching our reels, but
Overeating is a secret.
Yes.
A lot of people, that's a big secret. They don't want to own it. They don't want to talk about it. My matcha was a secret for a long time, like three a day. That was a secret. I wasn't going to tell anybody. Mm-hmm. That was really hard to manage until my husband was like, you just spent $600. What are you doing? I'm like, I did? What do you mean? Right. So then what do? I start paying cash for it. Secret
behaviors.
Yeah. That like not okay. Right. What's another good secret?
I used to actually drive home from work. Mm-hmm. And if I was stressed out, I would stop by McDonald's. I haven't eaten McDonald's for a long time now, but I used to stop and then park in the parking lot, mm-hmm. scarf down a meal, mm-hmm. pull over to throw it in the garbage can and go home and have dinner. And I would force myself to have dinner because I did not want my spouse to know
right.
that I had just had dinner in a parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Because I couldn't have the evidence, right?
Right, right. You got rid of that.
Yeah.
That's a good secret. That's a really good secret. Yeah. Secrets will lead you to drink again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emotional bandwidth. Not having the bandwidth to properly assess your emotions will lead you to drink. Mm-hmm. Family relationships will lead you to drink. And I haven't like having mail be late, right? Having some package be late or something, like anything can set off the alarm in the body. So it's really building the fence, the making sure you're steady and sturdy. So when those emotional bombs go off, you're safe in the palace. And you're not going to be drinking. Ugh.
And sharing like that. And that's one of the things that I've gotten real good at over the last. And this has probably only been the last few months. Mm. Is that when I am feeling emotional, I reach out right away. I never used to do that.
Mm. It takes time.
Yeah.
Time takes time.
It does. Time takes time.
Oh, you can listen to that podcast once a month.
It's always the first episode.
Yes. I got lost with my thought now. Great. Sharing is caring. Picking up the drink is the last action in relapse. Taking care of your emotional wellness is priority number one, so you don't get all backed up and jacked up. Anything else we can share today?
Community.
Oh yeah. Community. Oh my God. Friends, community, being a part of something.
Yep.
Life changing.
I have women that I talk to every day mm-hmm. in my recovery circle. And it just, I don't know. It like you were saying, right? Building that fence and that sturdiness, yeah. that foundation, yeah. having yeah. community and having people in your life that you can actually reach out to or be in the middle of the boat, so yeah. to speak, right? Yeah. I stepped outside that and I'm like, no, I'm just going to go out here for a little bit. No. And that didn't do me any good. And I could have easily relapsed. Easy.
Yeah. Friends, community, being a part of something.
Yeah.
Being of service, being in your life in a very honest way, right? I mean, I think that's where we're like what I teach around the mindfulness and being present in the moment with somebody. Like, you can't drink if you're not present with somebody. Like, you can't, it doesn't work. You can't, it just doesn't work.
That's right.
Like, I'm not going to drink right now because I'm with you here on this podcast, right? Like, I'm with you. I'm being present. I'm being honest.
Well, I would hope not because I'm a little far away. So I'd like start panicking. I'm like,
you're like, Lane, what are you doing?
I'll see you in 7 hours.
Oh my God. That would be just, no.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
No.
So yeah, relapse does not have to be a part of the storyline.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be. We know that it doesn't have to be. And if it does, if it is a part of your story, no shame. Like, you're sober today.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think this is a conversation that we're just ranting and raving.
So we'll wrap it up.
wrap it up. What are we going to put on it today? A corn cob. Pop, 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 pop. Do you watch Holy Moly?
No.
Okay. Holy Moly is Steph Curry's miniature golf show. And it's kind of outrageous mini golf. And one of the obstacles is this cob of corn, and you have to run by it before the kernels pop. And it's so funny. So we're putting a big old cob of corn here before it pop, pop, pops. There you go.
Yeah. There you go. That's a wrap. Oh, before we go, if you have any questions, right? So what we want to start doing is if you go to our website, which is www.yoursobernowwhat.com, in the top right-hand corner, there's a little ask us.
There is?
Yeah, there is.
I need to see this.
Yes. So
really?
Go to that. Lane's going there right now. Lane's going to ask our first question and suggest our first topic.
And ask us.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love this.
Yeah, I know. I figured you would.
That's so cool.
Surprise.
That's awesome.
And you can ask us a question and we'll give you a shout out on the show. So before the shows, if we have some questions, we'll answer those for you. But if you have a topic that you want us to talk about, we'll discuss it. Because, right, we come at it from two different times in our recovery. And I think we have two different viewpoints, right?
Yeah.
And it'll be fun. I mean, that's the point of the show, is to have fun and just conversation.
Conversation fun.
With the odd rant.
Do we? Also, speaking of community, that's such a huge part of being in recovery, is having that community, making sure that you check out the options that are available to join the Connected Calm Life. And the SOS, you get to practice once a month with yours truly. I hope you'll join me.
That's incredible.
Oh, but you could join for as little as a chai latte.
That's right. In Canada, it's a little bit more.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. So we hope to see you in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll see you there.
Pop, pop, pop.
Bye.
Bye.